The American Constitution is, so far as I can see, the most wonderful work ever struck off at a given time by the brain and purpose of man. So said Sir William Gladstone, a 19th century British Prime Minister. Did you know that Christianity helped play a role in the framing of the Constitution? Dr. Gregory P. Seltz is the executive director of the Lutheran Hour, or the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty. He used to be the speaker on the Lutheran Hour, and he joins us now to discuss heritage tours that he does, spiritual tours related to the U.S. Constitution in the D.C. area. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Seltz, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be here, too, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Go ahead and let's first ask you for kind of an overall picture here. A lot of people think that the Constitution has nothing to do with God, and right. There's even a book by some law professors called The Godless Constitution and so forth, which, by the way, doesn't have a single footnote. But I'd like a thought from you in terms of, well, what role, if any, did the Bible play in the shaping of our founding document?
Well, the Bible had a huge role. In fact, I would challenge people, anybody who believes in the separation, we don't use that word separation, but differentiation of church and state, because they have different roles in society. That notion that there are two legitimate authorities in our lives is a New Testament worldview. And so when Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and then, of course, Caesar has a limited role biblically, because Jesus later on says that, you only have the authority given to you. He said that to Pilate. This notion that there are two legitimate authorities in our life, that's a Christian, especially a Christian, a Judeo-Christian worldview, because it's implicit in the Old Testament, too. Although that was more of a theocracy. But you get to this point where did this idea of these two authorities come from? And that is foundational. And then the next question was, what's the government's role? Well, it needs to be limited, because the founders believed that you as a Christian citizen, self-disciplined, religiously motivated, that was a much more beneficial, powerful force for good in America than government. So the Constitution that flows out of these principles was a limitation of government document.
By the way, I said our founding document. I really should have said our governing document, because the founding document is the Declaration of Independence, but the Constitution is actually dated not only in the year of our Lord, but it's also dated in reference to the year of liberty, in a direct reference back to the Declaration of Independence, which mentions God four times and says that God is the source of our rights. So that's an important key factor.
And that's the problem today, is a lot of people think the government is granting us rights all over the place. And it's we have rights that are inalienable. And I think even our church people don't understand this. They actually they hear these government officials saying things about what the government should do for you. And a lot of times they're saying things that the Constitution says that's not your role in our lives. That's not for you to do. And that's rooted in a philosophy and in a governing philosophy that goes to the Declaration, as you said. Those are the founding principles of our country.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty, which is based in Washington, D.C., and I guess as an extension of that part of your ministry works and so forth, you lead some heritage tours sometimes, and there's going to be one coming up next fall.
Next year, except on Constitution Day, so it's going to be the week of. But Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty, people don't realize that we were part of this religious liberty protection stuff all the way back in the 30s and 40s. Our first Lutheran Hour speaker, Walter A. Meyer, was a very big, prominent figure in America at the time, and they tried to kick him off the radio. And we were the number two radio program, the Lutheran Hour was, back in those days, in the country. And The Shadow was number one.
Wow.
And so when they tried to kick him off, he basically argued Jeffersonian freedom principles of the First Amendment to keep all religious programming on. And we were part of the development of the National Religious Broadcasters, and even one of our church leaders was one of their first presidents. Well, we kind of stepped back from that role, and then our church says, wait a minute, we got to be working in D.C. with the other churches to maintain religious liberty, defend sanctity of life for all people. So they sent me back to reinstitute kind of our role in that regard. And so religious liberty, sanctity of life, Marriage is a religious liberty issue for us, and of course, educational freedom. We should be able to educate our children in the values and virtues that we deem necessary. So that's why we're back battling in D.C. to kind of put, Pandora back in the box.
Huh. You know, it's interesting, too, and we've mentioned this before in previous conversations, but Dr. Meyer, his son is Dr. Paul L. Meyer, and he was a huge, huge guest in many of our programs produced by D. James Kennedy Ministries TV. And this radio station, by the way, was ultimately founded by Dr. D. James Kennedy. So I love the way that that comes full circle. So tell us a little bit about the Constitution tour in terms of, you know, where do you go within D.C.?
Well, there's two things that are going to happen next September 2023, September 17th through the 20th. The monuments, museums, and the manuscripts of our founding, we're going to take you to see all those things. We're also going to have we're going to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. We're also going to have a tour of the Museum of the Bible. And then we have a special event on the Tuesday evening for both the tour people and for those who might just come to the one event where you're going to meet with leaders here in Washington, D.C., who are defending our religious liberties, our sanctity of life, folks. And we're going to have thought leaders talk to our people in a lecture Tuesday evening at the Museum of the Bible. So it's 4 days, museums, manuscripts, and monuments, the things that are foundational, and then a lecture also by me about why this is related to the Judeo-Christian worldview, not necessarily the proclamation of the gospel, but the view of humanity, the role of government, those kinds of things. And those founding principles have created the greatest liberty for the most people. America is the most diverse country in the world because it's founded on principles that hold us together.
Okay, and those principles would be, well, we've already mentioned God, so the idea that our rights come from the Creator, that would be a key founding principle. But what other founding principles do you want to highlight?
Well, I mean, you know, when you start to talk about Western philosophy that was an outgrowth of the debate between what's the church's role in my life and what's the government's role in my life, Holy Roman Emperor and the Pope. When you start to think about that, your autonomy, there's an authority bigger than government. That was a founding principle. So my rights, my inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the virtuous pursuit of happiness flow from the reality that I have a relationship with a God who created me and the God who redeemed me. And so that's the first thing. Then things like meritocracy, then things like ownership, where you have things that are your own, not to selfishly hoard, but they're your own as a steward, of the gifts that God has given you, and of course to be put to service for your family, for your neighbor, and your neighborhood. And these kind of principles flow from the Ten Commandments in that regard as a directional. I don't know if you want to use the word directional law. You know, God ordered us for this kind of living for the sake of each other. And so that's the foundations of a civil society. And so when we look at that, what's the government's role in that? Well, to undergird these rights. And the rest of it's up to us as self-governing, religiously motivated citizens to do what is right because we are free. And those are the things, you know, freedom to do what is right. All that is implicit in the foundational principles that form the Declaration of Independence, and then, of course, limited the government via the Constitution.
You know, it's interesting you would say that phrase, free to do what is right, or you use the phrase virtuous pursuit of happiness. Of course, the words themselves, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, it just says the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't define it, but I've heard some scholars who are very familiar with Sir William Blackstone, the great British jurist, and that you can find in his writings. By the way, there are a lot of statements from the Declaration of Independence that are Blackstonian to the core. Like, for example, the phrase, the laws of nature and of nature's God. I mean, that's as if he's just quoting Blackstone. And they didn't have copyright laws back then. So Jefferson wasn't violating copyright laws, but he was borrowing heavily from them. And I'm sure, by the way, Blackstone would have been very pleased with that. But so Blackstone says that the pursuit of happiness basically means you have the ability to do God's will for your life, and this is a wonderful thing. You know, but it's therefore the virtuous pursuit of happiness, I think, fits totally well with, you know, with what the founders believed, as opposed to what we're having today, which is kind of like anything goes.
Well, and I think that's the point, because classic liberals and conservatives believed in foundational principles. Well, who we're dealing with today, and people don't understand this, it's not left and right. It's freedom versus status. The people we're dealing with today are what we call secular Puritans. It's a whole different religion. They don't believe anything's right or wrong. They just believe in power, and they believe they should be in power. And so the secular statists kind of use our language against us, but those of us who still believe in foundational principles, whether you're a liberal classically or a conservative, those are the underpinnings of liberty, your liberty, and that's what we're defending in Washington. We're not trying to protect ourselves. We're trying to defend liberty because we know it's best for all people. But that we're working against the libertinism and the amoralism and the, what I call the secular Puritanism of these statists today, and they are in government.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you're having a tour related to the Constitution around D.C., and part of it is going to take place at the Museum of the Bible. What would you say to somebody who says, well, what does that have to do with – what does the Bible have to do with the Constitution?
The Bible's foundational – the Bible, you know, talks about God's role in the world, but two different ways. There's a preserving role of God in the world and, of course, the saving. We don't want the government to be any part of proclaiming God's saving work. That's something that's freely offered. That's the role of the church, and that's why the church is the benevolencing organization in our country. But there is a coercive power that God allows to happen. Caesar, the police, those who bear the sword, who are supposed to keep law and order, even if our heart's not in it, there are certain people say this far and no farther. And that's because we can, human beings can do some pretty bad things to each other. So God actually creates vocations, even non-Christians filling those vocations to preserve the world so all hell doesn't break loose. And so again, where did these ideas come from? Well, you know, the secularists don't believe that. They believe that the church is meaningless. Other theocracies don't believe it, like Islam doesn't believe it. They believe the government, you know, has really no role except to serve the church. Here comes this church and state as legitimate authorities in your life, which undergirds your freedom. Where did that come from? It's a New Testament idea. And so, again, people just need to understand that's something they're living in the fruits of that, whether they believe it or not.
I've had the privilege to visit the Museum of the Bible a couple of times, and one thing that just shocked – it is amazing. One thing that shocked me, though, was to see for the first time ever a Bible that I had preached about, I had written about, but I had never seen it. Abraham Lincoln received a copy of the scriptures from a group of black ministers in, I believe it was 1864. So, you know, during the Civil War. And he made this beautiful statement where he said, this is what a great gift. Thank you so much. You know, all the good that the Savior communicated to us is found in this book. And here's a direct quote. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. So here's Abraham Lincoln, one of our greatest presidents, saying, you want to know right from wrong? Read the Bible.
Yeah, and the founder said that we cannot create any law that violates the Ten Commandments. You know, you might not be able – like you said, thou shalt not commit adultery. You might not have anti-adultery laws, but you could have encouraging marriage laws, encouraging, you know, undergirding and incentivizing. So everything has to be related at least to the spirit of these laws, because the founders even said if you violate them, then this can't be just law.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. I'll go ahead and give your website. It is lcrlfreedom.org. Okay, Dr. Seltz, how about a 50-second closing thought?
Well, I guess, you know, about this tour, it's important to come to D.C. to hear how your faith in the public square is actually serving both the culture and, of course, sharing the mission of the church. We differentiate that because the Bible does. And so, again, coming to see how powerful these ideas really are, not just for you, but for everybody, it's worth coming to and it's worth investigating. So get to know us. This Freedom Tour is just another way to get to know us, because we're here serving and protecting you and setting the church, you know, keeping the church free to do what is right for the sake of their neighborhood. And I think if we've got people doing that, we'll be a positive force in the culture, no matter what the culture's doing.
Dr. Gregory Seltz, thank you so much for your time. All the best.
All the best to you, too.